Ezekiel chapter 9, let's begin reading here in verse 1. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God, the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled, Do You Sigh and Cry? Do you sigh and cry? Before I pray, I just want to say this. I have been where I'm at, Liberty Baptist in Snow Hill, for 5 years now. The Lord's blessed us, been good. From South Carolina originally, my wife Maria is right here. We're both from Sumter, South Carolina. Pray for those folks. You know, look, that hurricane, it spared us, didn't it? But those folks down there, a lot of our folks back home have really gone through it. They're dealing with flooding right now. And I tell you, just pray for those folks. We certainly would appreciate you doing that. We know folks that are dealing with floods, and you know, and you've seen that up here before, you know, so you know how that is. So pray for our folks there. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your Bible. God, I pray now you'd bless the reading of your scriptures in our midst tonight. I pray, dear Father, you'd give me complete liberty, Lord, to preach tonight and share with the people what you've laid on my heart for this service. And God, I just pray that you'd give me freedom of thought and speech. Most of all, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of the people. Dear Holy Spirit, that you'd do what I cannot do, and you'd meet the needs of this congregation as you work, and just help me to preach tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel here is having a very hard ministry, very hard time. Isaiah foretold of the events that would come to Jerusalem and how Babylon would conquer them and take them captive. He foretold of it, but Ezekiel was one of the captives himself and was called to be God's prophet in that setting. So he had a very hard ministry, a very difficult ministry. And he's given a vision here. Now this is a very interesting vision that we have here in this opening chapter, or these opening verses of chapter 9. Ezekiel's given a vision of six men. I think these are six angels probably. Six men that are destroyers, if you will. God is going to punish Jerusalem. God is going to punish these people. So you notice they had destroying weapons in their hands. I mean, judgment was coming, no doubt about it. And these men come, and you see we read there that the cherub came up from the temple, carrying away the glory of the Lord. That's not a pretty picture, is it? When the glory of the Lord is departed, folks, that's not a good thing. From any land, any place. And we need to pray for America, don't we? In these days. The vision of destruction was a foretelling, really, of a time to come when Babylon would actually destroy the holy city. Now, if you look there at verse 6, it says, slay utterly. Now, in the midst of verse 6, it says, begin at my sanctuary. Now, God says, I want you to go through, you're going to destroy the city. You're going to destroy the wicked people of the city. This is not pretty, it's not pleasant, it's a harsh judgment that's coming. And he says, go through, and he says, begin at the temple. Peter picked up on that. You know the verse. Peter said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. He got that from this. Peter quoted a lot of the Old Testament. That's what he had for his Bible. Amen. And he knew his Bible. He knew his Old Testament. And whenever he said that, he's thinking about Ezekiel chapter 9 here. That judgment must begin at the house of God. Folks, if we're going to have revival in America, it's going to begin at the house of God. Amen? Sinners act like sinners because they're sinners. It's God's people that need to quit acting like sinners. Amen? We need to start living for God and acting right. And God said, if my people, you know 2 Chronicles 7:14, judgment must begin at the house of God. Revival must begin at the house of God. But yet we see in the midst of this judgment one glimmer of hope. One of these six men has an inkhorn on his side. You've seen that, a scribe's inkhorn that they would carry, and they would have one of those little horn deals that they would keep different things in. He would keep ink in that. And he was told to go through the city and mark the foreheads of all of those that sigh and cry. What he's saying there is go through the city and all of the ones that are faithful, all of the ones that are true to God, all of the ones whose hearts are broken because of the abominations and the wickedness of the land, he said, put a mark on their forehead. Now, I've read a lot about this. Some believe the six men were angels. Some believe that the mark could only be visible to them, and that may be so. But the point is this. Those that were brokenhearted, those that had a contrite heart, those that had a burden for the land, who obeyed God, were going to be spared. It's kind of like Exodus. Whenever they put the blood, you remember that when I see the blood, I will pass over you? Whenever they put the blood on the doorpost, that was a mark. And those that had that blood mark would be spared that night of the Exodus. Same thing is happening here. Those that would have the mark in their forehead would be spared from the judgment. Aren't you glad we've got a God of grace that we sang about tonight? Aren't you glad we've got a God of mercy? For those that will trust God, there can be deliverance from judgment. That's salvation, is it not? Such markings have been seen in the Bible before. Cain was marked, wasn't he? Cain was marked for his sin, and really God, that was an act of mercy. God did it for his own good. The Exodus, there was a marking, the blood on the doorpost. In the Great Tribulation, there's going to be the mark of the beast. That'll be a literal mark, I believe. And it's going to be a marking. Many of the marks that you find here, though, some are for destruction, some are for protection. Here in this chapter, it's for protection. God will protect those who sigh and those who cry. That's what he said. Put a mark there in verse 4 on the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. You know, God's looking down from heaven and he's looking for a people that will sigh and cry and have a burden for America. God's looking for some men and women and churches scattered throughout this land who sigh and cry and have a burden for what's going on in this country of ours, who have a burden for lost people, who have a burden for missions around the world. God's looking for people who have a heart like he has. And God spares his people. I'm glad of that tonight. Let me give you a few points from this tonight. Number one, I want you to notice this. God knows the righteous from the wicked. He's got you marked, amen, accordingly. You remember, you read through the kings in the Bible. The Bible marks the kings, doesn't it? He did that which was right in the sight of God. Or he did that which was evil in the sight of God. God's got them marked, doesn't he? God knows the wicked from the righteous. God's not confused about that, is he? You know, we're living in a world today where people are confused. I mean, you know, today you talk to people and it seems like there's really nothing left to be called wicked anymore. I mean, we're steadily legalizing sin, aren't we? I mean, that's what's going on in our country. Nothing can be called sin or evil or wicked anymore. But I'm telling you, there's a holy, just, righteous God in heaven. He's not confused about this matter. And we need not be confused about the matter ourselves. The doctrine of separation, I tell you, it's been watered down, it's been blurred, it's been almost erased. But I tell you what, it's still throughout the Bible, isn't it? There ought to be something different about God's people. Different on purpose. Amen? We ought to be different for God. The Bible says, Isaiah said, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. That put darkness for light, and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. I think we see a whole lot of that going on in our world today, don't we? That which is good is called bad, and that which is bad is called good. That good Christian person is demonized, and that wicked person is put up on a pedestal. Folks, that's a little bit backwards from what God's system is, isn't it? Hey, but Isaiah told us we'd see that day, and I think we're seeing it right now. We're seeing a day when things are backwards, and we are applauding sin and applauding the wrong kind of thing. I tell you, we're living in a day, I sometimes wonder, I remember 9-11. You remember 9-11 and flying those planes, you know, in? And I remember who did that. I think we're about to a point now we don't remember who did that, right? Christians are put down and persecuted more than the Muslim crowd that, you know, and it's almost like it never happened. I don't understand that. Other than the backward situation that the Bible talked about right here. But I'm saying that God knows the righteous from the wicked. God understands that. God's got that figured out. We live in a world, we live in it, we're not to be of it. We live side by side with wicked people. But God knows the difference. Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13:30, he said, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn." Hey, I want to go to God's barn one day, amen, when we all get to heaven. The wheat will be gathered together, separated from the wicked. The Bible also says he'll divide the sheep from the goats in Matthew 25. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he set the sheep on his right hand, and the goat shall be on his left." And that's a little political humor in the Bible, amen? The goats are on the left, the sheep are on the right. God knows who his sheep are. God knows his flock. And God knows who are not. Folks, I want to tell you, when you die, you're going instantly to heaven or hell, according to whether or not you're saved. Instantly. You know, people like to say, well, you know, whenever I die, I'm going to stand before God, and God's going to weigh out my good and weigh out my bad and figure out where I need to go. God already knows where you're going. He's not confused. You're marked. Amen. You're already marked. God's not confused about that. But I hear people say it all the time. I say, "Do you think you'll go to heaven?" "Yes." "Why?" "Because I try to be a good person. And I believe when I get to heaven, God will wave, you know, all that." God already knows. Hey, do you know at the rapture, do you know how fast the Bible says the rapture is going to take place? You think there's going to be any time to try to figure out who goes and who stays? God already knows. In the twinkle of an eye, God already knows. God doesn't have to wait and figure it out. God already knows. He knows who his people are. He knows who the wicked are and who the righteous are. And God has us marked, and God makes no mistakes, and God marks correctly. We're not, you know, we're confused today. I think today the only difference between a saved man and a lost man today is where he goes when he dies. I think there ought to be a difference in how he lives while he's here too, amen? But that's not what we're hearing today. You know, man can live as wicked as anything and say he's, you know, and he can live as wicked as anything, wicked as the devil, and then he dies. And everybody says, well, he's much better off now. He's up there in heaven, you know. Man might have hated God and cursed God all his life, but now he's better off. I'm telling you, we might be confused, but God is not. God has us marked. God knows who the righteous and the wicked are. My folks laugh at me about this. I've got an unusual little hobby, I guess you'd say. I don't golf. Sorry. You know, I'm a preacher, but I don't golf. I don't do that. I do like to go fishing. Amen. I that's not my odd hobby, but I like to go fishing. I like to go bass fishing, in fact. And if my wife here goes, then I have to get the pole, and then I got to do a little brim fishing, you know. She likes to watch that cork bounce up and down, and I like it too. Amen. That's fun. I like to go fishing. That's a good hobby to have. Amen? Any folks like that? I got another little hobby that's a little bit different. I'll just say it like this to start with. I raise chickens. But more specifically, I raise bantams, and I raise them to show them. I really do. I spend time with them. I raise them up, and I try to raise up some good ones. I'll put them in the fair. I'll put them in shows, competitive shows. I know y'all think that's crazy, but that's what I do. It gets even more weird, though. I know who they are. I really do. I got several, and I know who they are. You know why? I got them marked, like the Bible said here. Hey, you know what? I've got these little colored zip ties. They work perfect. You just wrap it around his leg. That one's got a pink one. That one's got a blue one. That one's got a green one. I know who his mom and daddy are. I know who his are. And then when they get a little older and they're keepers, then they get a numbered colored leg band. And then that's number 10 and that's number 12 and so on. Y'all think I'm crazy. I know. But my point is I mark them so I can keep up with them. Some of you folks may have hunting dogs. You kind of have a system too, amen, for that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, God knows who his people are. Hey, if I can do something like that and keep up with something, because, you know, when you get a bunch of chickens, they can kind of look alike after a while, you know, and you got to know who is who sometimes. I've got one right now. I can tell you that one right there won her the show. Well, guess what? Her mama looks just like her. I got to know which one's which, you know, so I'll mark them. God has his people marked. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Aren't you glad Jesus knows you tonight? Aren't you glad Jesus has a mark on you tonight? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't make any mistakes about that tonight? You don't need to wonder whether God, oh, in the rapture, is God going to forget me? No, if you're his, you will not be left behind. Amen? God knows who his are. God marks real well. Are you marked by God? I hope you can say tonight, I'm a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who's marked by God for protection. It's a mark of grace. Thank God for it. God marks his people. He marks his people real well. So God knows the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Number two, let me say this. The righteous have two distinct marks. And we read about them right here in the passage. And we need to have both of these. They sigh and they cry. He talks about those that sighed. That's an inward grieving. You know, Christian people, I believe today, are sighing when they hear the news. You ever watch the news and you're just like, oh, goodness. And you shake your head. That's a sigh. That's an inward grief about what you just heard. You watch the news and you sigh in your soul and you say, I can't believe I just heard that. I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe they made that decision up there in Washington. And you sigh within your soul. Why? You're grieved. You're grieved about what's going on in your country. You hear about something on the news and you just say, my, I can't believe it. You hear about somebody that you know, and you say, I can't believe that would ever happen. I can't believe that person would ever do that. I would have never dreamed it. I tell you, we've all sighed in that sense many times, haven't we? We sighed, oh, I can't believe that. And we sigh. We need to just sigh. Hey, you know what? Folks are sighing over the wrong thing sometimes. We need to sigh about what really matters, don't we? You hear about the wealthy man that he wrecked his expensive sports car. He crawled out of the wreckage and he cried. He said, oh, my expensive sports car. Oh, my car. Somebody finally got his attention and said, sir, your left arm is missing from the wreck. And then he looks over and he says, oh, my Rolex watch, where is it? We need to sigh over the right stuff, amen? What really matters? Sometimes we sigh over things that just don't matter. Or that God's not even concerned about. We're all upset about things. Folks, we need to learn to get upset about the right things. And these people, he said, I want those people marked who sigh over the abominations that are done in the land. I want the people, not the people that are doing the wickedness and not even the people in the house of God. He said, start at the temple. But he said, I've got some faithful remnant out there. I want you to go mark them for protection. They sigh and they sigh for the right reasons. Ezekiel found these people. They were grieved over Israel's sinful condition. These are the people who longed and prayed for revival in the land. These are the people that were upset about the news reports. These were the people that were upset about the idolatry. They were upset about the immoral behaviors. They would be upset today about the millions of abortions that's going on here in our country. I mean, they're the ones that are highly upset about what's happening in this world. The language and the immorality that's on our television screens and the ease of access to internet wickedness for our young people. Don't you just sigh within an inward grief about what's going on in our world? My youngest son said something a while back about, you know, it's always been here, you know, it's always been here, you know, it's always been wickedness. I said, but we had to look for it a whole lot more than you guys do today, you know. Honestly, we had to really go search for it, and it was a little more effort involved, I guess. Today, it's just right there, and we grieve at that. We ought to grieve at that. We ought to be burdened like Nehemiah was burdened for Jerusalem. We ought to be burdened. Like the prophets, Ezekiel and the other prophets, and Isaiah, the others, they were burdened, and they preached, and they cried out. He said, I want you to find the people that sigh, the people that are grieved. The people, you know, we watch the news, we hear about Planned Parenthood, we hear about all this terrible stuff that's going on with the aborted babies and all of this stuff, and we think, surely, you know, Washington will defund the program. And instead they go award them with a $1 million grant, you know, and you sigh, don't you? And you say, I can't believe that. And unfortunately, the examples are many that we could cite. In your own family, you sigh about some things, don't you? Some of you may sigh tonight. You sigh about your children. They may be older and gone, but they're also gone away from God, and you sigh about that, don't you? You're burdened about that. You have lost loved ones. You sigh. Inward grief. You know, God wants to see that. He wants to see that you care about what He cares about. So they had to look for those people and mark those that sighed. There were two marks. The other one was not only they sighed, but they cried as well. Now, that's an emotional weeping, but I think it goes a little farther than that. It's an outward expression of the inward grief. An outward expression of the inward grief. In other words, folks, we can just sit home and watch the news and we can sigh. Oh, can't believe it. But you know what? We might ought to cry in the sense of lifting up our voice. The church has been silent way too long in America, and we're losing our country because of it. Oh, we sigh, we grieve, but it might be time we speak up too. Amen? I tell you, we need our preachers in the pulpit to not only sigh, but to cry. We need our people, whenever they're out in the community, scattered about as the salt of the earth. Wherever you're scattered out, you know, your preacher here is a great man of God, and he's a great witness, but I tell you, he doesn't know all the people that you know. He can't be in all the places that you are, and the Lord said, you're the salt of the earth. I tell you, right now we assemble together for worship, but tomorrow we're going to be scattered out like the salt of the earth, and we all need to cry out wherever we're at. Boldly. Be bold, but be kind. With a Christ-like spirit. You don't have to be obnoxious to be bold, amen? And ask God to help you to cry out against what's going on in the world. I believe the ones they were looking for were the ones that were shouting, amen, while Ezekiel preached the prophecies. Amen, preacher. You're right, Ezekiel. Keep up the good work. They encouraged the man of God. Those were the ones that not only sighed, they cried. They would attend the political rallies, perhaps, in Raleigh or something like that to say, we stand with God. They might would write a letter to their senator or the congressman or something of that nature and say, hey, I want you to hear my voice. I'm on God's side and I'm voting next election. And I want you to know where I stand and where I expect you to stand. Not only sigh, we cry as well. We have a burden. And God looks for that. He looks for both. He's looking for both of those marks. He knows who are His. He knows the righteous from the wicked. But He's looking for the righteous who will sigh and cry. Who will do both. But then number three, let me give you this. God marks the righteous for protection, as we've already mentioned. God marks the righteous for protection. I'm glad you sang grace tonight, about grace tonight. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Aren't you glad for the protection of God? Aren't you glad for that hedge of protection that you like Job, you can pray for and ask God for? God cares for His people. He knows that we're among the tares today. He knows that the goats are mixed in with the sheep in this old world today. I know sometimes we wish, God, when you saved me, I wish you'd have just took me right on to heaven right then. And God says, but I need you to stay down there. You're a witness. You shall be witnesses unto me. That's what you're left here for. Light of the world, salt of the earth, you shall be witnesses unto me. And when the appropriate time comes, we'll all be in heaven forevermore. But right now, we're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. But God marks the righteous for protection. He knows the ridicule that you put up with on the job. He knows the compromising situations that you're pressured into on the job. He knows perhaps even at home the pressure or the ridicule that might be there. God knows about the persecutions that are going on to Christians throughout this world. And by the way, within our own land, as we've seen this past week. Are you a Christian with a gun to your head? What are you going to say? Hey, you know, we've always preached and heard that scenario. It happened this week, did it not? We heard that in the news, didn't we? Are you a Christian? What is your religion? I'm a Christian. Good, you're going to meet God in about a second. The rest were just wounded. Those were shot in the head. God knows the persecution going on throughout this world. God knows the heartache that you have. God knows the leftist media reports and the biased media reports that put down everything the Bible lifts up. He knows, God knows, as the days of Noah, so shall the end of the days be, right? You think we're living in days like Noah lived in? Wicked, every imagination of the heart was evil continually. I think I know some of that going on right now, don't you? And in the end times, perilous days shall come. I think we got some of that going on, don't we? But God knows all about that. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? Don't be surprised if you do what's right and the world doesn't applaud it. Don't be surprised if you make the right decision on the job and don't get the promotion. Don't be surprised if you say, I can't lie for you, boss man. I can't do that. I'm a Christian. And he doesn't reward you for it. But I tell you what, you just keep hanging on. God will reward you for it. Amen. God, yeah, in his own time, God will do that. You might feel out of place. You might feel outnumbered. You might feel uncomfortable at times. You might feel despised and rejected by the popular crowd. But you know, I already said, God knows the righteous from the wicked. You know, right now, we're down here, we're right mixed in with the tares, aren't we? We're right mixed in with the goats and the sheep. We're all together. We're in this world. We're trying not to be of this world. Hey, but you know what? God has it marked so well in His mind that when God looks down, He doesn't see it all mixed up. He sees a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a lot on that road. He sees a narrow road that leads to life everlasting, and that's His people right there. God's got a clear view from heaven, amen? You're on that narrow road that leads to life. And that's where God sees you. You feel like you're all mixed in, and we are in a sense. In God's mind, He said there's a broad road, there's a lot on that one, but there's a narrow road, there's few on that one. Those that are marked for protection because they have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God knows He marks the righteous for protection. I tell you, there's just so much. I heard about Senator Ted Cruz. He's taken a good stand here lately, I think, and he was on a late night show, and he gave his stand against gay marriage while the crowd booed him the whole time, I read. We get a little uncomfortable sometimes. Hey, aren't you glad to come to church to be with people of like-minded, like faith, amen? I mean, come back on Wednesday night. Look, you go out there into the world, and you hear all the filth and all the cursing and all the ridicule, man, it's good to come to church and be with like faith, like-minded people, isn't it? A little bit of heaven on earth is what this is right here, amen? Thank God for it. That's part of God's grace too. That's part of God's mercy. That's part of God's plan. God has His people marked. It is said that Napoleon, he once lost control of a horse. A private jumped in, grabbed the horse, and got it under control. A private. And Napoleon instantly said, "Good job, Captain. You look out for the head man, he'll look out for you." Amen. You look out for the Lord, He looks out for His. In due time, He'll exalt you, right? And He can do it instantly like that, or in time, or when He takes us to heaven. God will reward His people. God will mark for protection His people. God loves and favors the righteous. Those who care for what God cares for, He's got them marked. He's got His church marked. He's got His people. Psalm 37, "For the Lord loveth judgments and forsaketh not His saints." I'm glad of that. They are preserved forever. How long? Forever. "But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Proverbs 2 says, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth." Psalm 1 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." God's got it figured out. Whose side are you on tonight? Moses asked a question like that, didn't he? Are you marked for God? Are you of those who sigh and cry? You say, "I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I have no doubt about that. I know I'm saved, but I only sigh." I sigh, I really do sigh, I have inward grief, but I haven't cried out as much as I ought to. I haven't spoken up as often as I should. Folks, you know it's one thing to say in your home, sir, you say to your wife, "I sure wish our relative Sally would get saved. I sure wish she would get saved." Don't you? I sure do. I wish she'd get saved. We ought to pray for her. Yes, let's do that. That's one thing, but I tell you, it's another thing to go to her and invite her to church and to present the gospel and to give her a gospel tract and to witness to her and let her know that you're praying for her. You see, within your home, when you talk about it there and you pray for her within your home, you sigh within. But when you go to her and approach her and confront her in a kind manner, you're not only sighing, but you're crying too. You're crying out. I mean, folks, we love the world and we say, "Oh, I wish somebody would get saved in Africa or India or wherever else." And we cry, we sigh within, but we cry without when we send a missionary over there. Amen. Say, "I can't go, but I can help send that missionary." "Oh, I have a heart for missions. I wish I could go. God hadn't sent me, but I can help send someone." Now you're sighing and crying, because what are you doing something about it now, right? It's one thing to feel it within. It's another thing to do something about it. 2 Timothy says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal or mark. The Lord knoweth them that are His." He's got a seal upon us. He's got His mark, doesn't He? "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Hey, that right there is an identifying mark. Amen? It's one way God knows His people from the rest. That's the way the world knows it too. You love people. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." You're marked by love. You're marked by righteousness and holiness. You're marked because your neighbor sees you go to church quite often. Amen? They've got your mark. They know it. God knows it. Sigh and cry. We certainly need to do both of these things. Let me close with this. When the Titanic, you know, was out there, they were sent at least three messages. Be aware of some icebergs. Be aware. But because of all the news, that's not necessary. Because of the unbelief, nothing could happen. Nothing would ever happen. It's going to be okay. They failed to pass on the message to the people that needed to get it. 1,500 people perished. But not only that, those lifeboats were only half full, weren't they? And you know the folks in the lifeboats who got to safety, do you think their hearts grieved about all the people they saw in the water? I would think so. But they didn't want to risk their lifeboat getting tipped over to go back and save some of them, so they just kept drifting out. You know, folks, it's not enough to say, I'm grieved about what I see. We need to do something about it as well. Not only sigh within, but cry without. Not only say, I hurt and I'm burdened about that. Nehemiah said, I'm burdened for my home. The walls are broken down in Jerusalem. I'm burdened for that. Then he went to the king and said, can I go? And he went back and rebuilt the walls in record time. He sighed and he cried and said, hey, let's do this. God's looking, God marks his people, but you know, God was looking for both, wasn't he? He said, mark the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that he hath done, that be done in the midst thereof. If God was placing marks on his people today, would you and I be marked according to that criteria? You say, I got the first one. My heart is burdened. I sigh. I sigh all the time. I watch the news and I sigh all the time. I see what's going on with my loved one and I sigh all the time. If God was marking us for both, would we be marked for God? Because we also take another step and we try to act upon what we're burdened about. That's important, isn't it? You know, this preacher, he sighed and was burdened many years ago. And he decided a church needed to be planted in this area. And he didn't just sigh, he did something about it, amen? And he stood in this pulpit for many years and lifted up his voice like a trumpet and cried as well as sighed, amen? That's what God wants us all to do. Follow that example. That's who God marks for protection. That's who God's looking out for. That's who God's looking for. Those that sigh and that cry, ask yourself tonight, am I doing both? Am I doing both? Would you bow your heads with me this evening as we think on this tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How about you tonight? First of all, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Do you sigh within right now because you don't know where you'd go if you died today? You need to cry out and call on the Lord for salvation tonight. Take that next step of faith. Dear Christian, you're here tonight. Your heart is burdened for your country. Your heart is sighing for something in your family, some situation. And you need to take some action steps, some steps of faith. Let God lead you and do what you can to make the situation better or to confront it. And maybe tonight God's dealing with your heart and saying, hey, you've prayed about it long enough. It's time to take a step of faith. It's time to cry out. It's time to do something about it. Would you do that tonight? Dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to obey your voice. I ask it in Jesus' name this evening.